Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. We'll read Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23 through Matthew, chapter 2, verse number 2. And then we'll read one other verse there in Matthew, chapter 2 as well. Matthew 1, 23 through 2, 2. We'll read this passage responsively. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now skip down to verse number 11 there in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, we'll read this verse in unison together. Ready? And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Thank you for this time of the year where even many in the world slow down and at least think about the birth of Christ a little. Father, thank you for sending the Lamb of God through a virgin to give us eternal life. Thank you for our church and what it stands for. Now fill our preacher with your power so that we could leave here better Christians tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'll stop and say this, that it's one thing when we hear someone sing a fine song like that. It's something else when you know that one that's singing means what they're singing. It means all the difference in the world. Thank you, Brother Nash, so very much. And thank God for Greg Nash. What a good man. We're blessed to have him as a part of the team around here. Tonight, I'm going to be very simple. I have a few that would criticize my technique because of its simplicity. But I feel like I like to make things so that all of us can live them. I'm going to talk to you about how to shop for Christmas. Giving has always been a basic and a proper behavior for the Christian. Christians are to be givers, not takers. John 3:16 tells us of God's great example concerning giving. He gave us an example. In John 3:16 it says, For God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his only begotten Son. Now in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read the Christmas story. Earlier, you read out loud with Brother Bush as we shared a portion of that story. Mary, a virgin, is told by an angel that she will give birth to the Savior. Let me stop and qualify the word virgin. That means she'd never had a physical relationship with a man. She was pure and she was clean. Don't let our liberal society steal that from you. She was a virgin. The birth of Jesus Christ was a miracle of miracles. But an angel says to Mary, you will give birth to the Christ child. Said his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, Jesus was God come in the flesh. We know that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Wise men came from the east to worship this new baby and that one that is to be the king of the Jews. They were going to follow a star, and they would follow that star to find the Christ child. Jesus was going to be born in a manger. We know the story. There was no room in the inn. When they found him, the Bible teaches that they gave some gifts at the birth of Christ. Matthew 2:11 says, And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave treasures, it says, and those treasures were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, here we see the giving at the birth of Christ. Maybe that's one reason why we give birthday gifts. I can tell you this for sure. It's the reason why we give gifts around the time where we celebrate the birth of Christ. the greatest gift ever given was given to us by God. It was the gift of Himself through the person of Jesus Christ, His Son. Christmas giving probably started, though, right here at this time when these wise men, they gave gifts to Christ, and they gave gifts, I believe, to His family. I don't know where the idea of having a baby shower came from. It may originate right here in the Bible. You know how someone will have a baby and others get together and try to help them get started? Here we see Mary and Joseph had had a baby, and some gifts had been given to help and to express love for that baby. Now, the wonderful thing is, God gave His Son. Jesus was a gift. We see the giving of gifts here around His birth. But Jesus then continues this thing of giving throughout His entire life. He gave His life for our salvation. What a gift. John chapter 10, verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." But Jesus Christ just started giving and giving and giving of Himself. One day, walking down the road, found a blind person that did not have sight, and Jesus gave them their sight. Another time, there was a lame man that could not walk, and Jesus gave the lame man the ability to walk. Even to the point where there was a man that was dead by the name of Lazarus, and Jesus gave him back his life. You see, Christmas gift-giving comes from Bible examples, and Christmas gift-giving is taught around and because of the birth of Christ and what took place right there in the Christmas story. Well, it's a big part of our lives, and especially at this time of the year. And I think, just like everything else that the Christian does, there's a right and a wrong way to give Christmas gifts. I think this lesson will be practical. I think it will be helpful. I'll say some things that some of you have already learned. Some things that some of you, it'll be new to you, but I hope you'll logic through it and you'll think through it from a Christian standpoint. There's more giving in December than any other time of the year, at least in the United States of America. Now, they say there's an awful lot given on Mother's Day, and rightfully so. They say in America there's a lot given on Valentine's Day, and rightfully so. But I am so excited that the biggest month of giving in the United States of America is the month of December, and that's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus and the example set in the Bible. Even the lost world gets in on it, and they give because of the Christ child and the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to make some very quick observations about our gathering gifts and giving gifts and some things I wish that you would consider. First of all, I think Christians should be givers at Christmas. I believe that. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You know, you say, "Well, I'm not for all that foolishness about this Christmas stuff." Listen, even if you did not like the way Christmas is celebrated, you still should be a giver. You should just be a giver. Why? The Bible says that we should give, and not in a grudging way. We should give, and we should give cheerfully. I think, now you say, "Now that's talking about giving your money and giving your tithe." Well, I'm glad you think that. Maybe I should talk about that for a few minutes then. Yes, indeed, I think you ought to give your tithe, and you ought to give your offerings, and you shouldn't do it with a grudge in your heart. You ought to do it cheerfully. You say, "Well, I can't give it cheerfully." Then you give it as an old grouch. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you can't give cheerfully, you should not give. You ought to give anyway. But since you're supposed to give, you ought to might as well go ahead and get a smile on your face when you give. But I don't think it's just talking about our money given to God and to the New Testament church. I think it's talking about, in general, we ought to give. I think we ought to be givers. I think we ought to be cheerful givers. Those of you young people, you will learn this in life. It is a whole lot funner to give than it is to receive. It's a wonderful thing to give. There's that old show on television about the Scrooge. I don't think you and I should be Scrooges. I really don't. I'll say this, and I want to be gentle here because I don't want to make anybody mad at me. I've never done anything like that before, and I don't want to start now. But let me tell you something. This last year I was counseling a wife, and she said to me, and she was brokenhearted. She said, "Preacher, I'm just not sure my husband really loves me." And I said, no, I believe he does. I think he loves you. And I said, why do you think that? She said, he's never bought me a Christmas gift. He's never bought me a birthday gift. He never buys me anything for Valentine's Day. And I felt so bad for her. Now, folks, as Christians, you say, well, I don't believe in all those holidays. You do believe in being a Christian, don't you? Maybe you don't want to celebrate it that way. Fine, but let me tell you something. We ought to be givers. Those that, you know, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And I think we need to be expressive of our love, and I think we ought to give to one another. So I want to start out in the simplest place. Number one, Christians should be givers, and I think we ought to give at Christmas. I really think we should give at Christmas. Now, I also believe we ought to give the rest of the year. I believe to some degree there ought to be Christmas 365 days a year. We ought to always be celebrating the birth of Christ and always be willing to give and help our fellow man and be good about what God's given us. But I think in a special way, I think Christians should participate in Christmas. Maybe not like the world does, but we ought to participate. Number two, I don't think that we should shop to get at Christmas. I'll explain that in a moment. Don't shop to get at Christmas. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think you and I ought to learn to give with a pure heart. You say, what do you mean by that? I don't think you ought to give in order to get. I say, I don't think you ought to give in order to get. I think Christians ought to give in order to give. You see, there's a little bit of a corrupt attitude that we can develop. I give to you so you give back to me. No, I'm very, very sorry. We ought to give whether we get or not. We should learn to give, not give to get. There are some who purchase big gifts for others expecting big gifts in exchange. And there's corruption in your giving. You should give with a pure heart. I heard a wise man once say, you've never really given until you've given to someone who cannot give back. Boy, when you give to somebody who could not give back, and you know you're not going to get anything out of it other than the blessing of obedience, boy, that's big time giving. But you know, you could have a pure heart and you could give expecting nothing in exchange. And if you would, I think God would reward you for that. So listen, the right attitude at Christmas is to give, not to give, to get. Don't buy for them so that they will buy for you. That's called giving with an ulterior motive. Give if you get nothing in exchange. You say, well, I'm not going to give them anything anymore. They didn't give me anything. I'm very sorry. You've not caught what the Christian life is all about. You give because it's right to give, not because of what you get. So, I said, number one, Christians should be givers. Number two, don't shop to get, shop to give. Number three, I would recommend that you do not just give your children money to spend on Christmas gifts. Let them earn it. Let them earn it. Again, I'd recommend that you just not hand your children a bunch of money to go spend on Christmas gifts. You know, I watch some mamas and their nerves are frazzled and they're wore out. And they say, I just don't have enough time to get it all done. You know something? If you're going to give your kids a few bucks to go buy somebody something for Christmas, let them earn a little bit of it, mama, and let them help you around the house. Anyway, we are rearing a generation of welfareites in America, and everybody wants something for nothing. And I think you're supposed to earn your keep. And young people, rather than, hey, some of you young people where mom and dad might help you gather a little money to buy Christmas gifts, don't go just ask them for money. Go ask them for some duties and some chores where maybe you could make yourself useful and earn some of that money. And I mean, now, your one-year-old is not going to do duties around the house. But you know, they hit 4 or 5 years of age, they can start learning how to do a little something and help out and earn their keep. And so you know, teenagers, mom and dad are not your bank. They are your parents. And you ought to be thankful to God if they do help you do some Christmas shopping. You ought to thank God for that. But they're not obligated to do that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say parents have to give their kids money to spend. All they need to do is feed you and clothe you. And I've seen you teenagers, you've been fed. There's no doubt about that. So, listen, I want to suggest that you not just give your children a bunch of money to go and spend on Christmas, but let them earn their keep. Hey, this will help them to appreciate what they receive. You know, the people that are always getting but not having to invest, when they are receiving, they usually don't appreciate it. You know, you and I that work real hard to go down and buy our food at the grocery store, we appreciate the taste of our food better than those people that didn't earn the food that they're eating. They're the ones that gripe and complain and wish somebody would give them better quality food. Well, they didn't earn a lick of it. See, you appreciate what you receive if you work for it a little bit, and you'll appreciate it. I think they'll appreciate it if they receive some money from you and they go out and buy gifts with it. I think this also. I think moms and dads, I think it's a wonderful thing if a dad will help the kids get a little something for mom for Christmas and then vice versa. Teach them how to be good to mom. Teach them how to be good to dad and reverent to them. Hey, did you know something? I don't think the little ones necessarily have to spend a bunch of money. I would say just about every grandma and grandpa alive wouldn't mind having a very nice homemade card where somebody puts some energy and effort into it, and they can do color sheets. And sometimes it's almost like, folks, don't get caught into the commercialism of Christmas. Listen, you just teach your kids to be good to people. I think there are Sunday school teachers where a little boy can color a picture and hand that to the Sunday school teacher, and you can tape a little nickel candy cane on there, and that child could give that to somebody that they care about and be taught to give. You don't have to give everybody a $50 gift to be expressive of your love. And we all need, and listen, as a church family, we all need to receive very, very kindly and with appreciation what's given to us, and take the time to appreciate the little things. You know, that we know the story of the widow and her mites, and how she had just a couple, if you will, pennies, and she threw them into the offering, and Jesus said, what a great giver. Why? She gave of what she had. When somebody gives, and it's ever so slight and ever so little, listen, we ought to just appreciate that they've given from what they have. And our children need to be taught that. So I don't see any problem in the world with kids being taught how to make little gifts. Hey, mama, well, you could help your daughter bake a dozen cookies and divide them into units of two or three and wrap them up in some cellophane, put a little tag on that. That could be given to a Sunday school teacher. That could be given to a teacher at school and to somebody that's extra special to them at church. You didn't have to go out and spend $25 on them. Hey, how many men in here like chocolate chip cookies? Will you raise your hand? Right there's about 300 people that would like to have them chocolate chip cookies, and we'd be glad for them. See, it doesn't have to be elaborate, but I'm saying help your children. And I don't think you just need to give everything to your children to get gifts. Let them earn and let them work for it. Number four. I want to talk to you a little bit about giving fairly. Giving fairly. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light." The word just there is talking about being fair. Folks, let's be careful. Let's practice justice and fairness within our families. I'll tell you what we did. Now, you can do what you want, but I'm going to tell you what we did. We tried to be very careful and fair with our own children. Mrs. Owens and I always set an amount that we were going to spend on Christmas. We always spent the exact amount on every one of our children. Always. Parents, I beg of you, don't show favoritism. That hurts children. Now, our children are grown, and they all know this. We spend, while grown, the exact amount on everyone. We have two grandchildren. We spend the exact amount on those grandchildren. We want to be fair. We want to be just. Can I tell you something? I can't tell you how many people secretly and in their heart are hurt and offended because they see that there's not fairness and there's not justice in the way gifts are given. Now, I hope that makes sense to all of you, but I'm just trying to help you. You know, we have enough struggles with all our extended families and everything. We sure don't need to create any more of it, and we don't need to make any more chaos. We, Mrs. Owens and I, agreed a long time ago. We are fair and just. When her mama was alive, we spent the same amount on her mom that we spent on my mom. We were fair about that. Now, man, let me tell you something. If your wife does not work a job, it would be awful easy because you're the one with the money in your pocket to spend more on your parents than what you'll spend on her parents, and I don't think that's fair. Women work awful hard. If she's at home taking care of your house, cooking your food, and doing your laundry and taking care of your kids, she's earned the right to do something for her parents. And I think they ought to be treated fairly and justly. You say, but I hate my mother-in-law. Then just don't give your mother anything, and you got it taken care of. But I say, be fair. Be fair. You'll offend people if you express favoritism. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. It's ever so slight, but we're even careful with the number of gifts when we try to make it somewhat equal. In other words, when our kids were growing up, let's say we were going to spend $50 on each one of the kids. We didn't go out and buy one child a $50 gift and then everybody else five $10 gifts because we were a little afraid they wouldn't understand. You know what it's like when you have one gift to unwrap and somebody else has five gifts to unwrap? So what we would do is we'd even throw in there, you know, four $1 gifts to make sure they had as many to unwrap. And she, to this very day, my wife does that in our shopping. Our kids are grown adults. And she says, well, I want to get it kind of close because when we unwrap gifts at Christmas, we started a long time ago because the kids begged. They said, Dad, don't you think it'd be good to unwrap at least one gift on Christmas Eve? I'm thinking, no, I really don't think that would be good. But we do that. So we let our kids growing up unwrap one gift on Christmas Eve. But on Christmas Day, we all sit in a great big circle and we unwrap one gift at a time. And we make them look at to see who it came from, and one unwraps, and then we go to the next, and they unwrap. We just don't want anybody to run out and be sitting there watching everybody else unwrap. You do it the way you want. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to tell you, be fair. Try to be just. Try to treat people with fairness and justice. Let me go on. Number five. I'm going to suggest that you don't buy worldly or sinful gifts for people. The Bible says in Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them which ask him? Here the Bible says, those of us that live down here on this earth, we ought to know how to give good gifts unto our children. I think you need to be careful giving the wrong kinds of gifts. And the main point I want to get across to you is you say, well, I'm giving a gift to a lost person. I understand. But giving a gift to a lost person does not mean that you ought to give them something that Jesus would not be giving away himself. Right. Christians should give things to others that could be a gift from a Christian. Just because you're with a lost person, you're still supposed to live like a Christian and think like a Christian and behave like a Christian. I wouldn't give people gifts of things that God would not appreciate. You say, well, my little nephew, he likes rock and roll CDs, so that's what I'm giving him. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Uncle Roy, he likes Budweiser. I'm getting him a case. I wouldn't. Well, they wanted this kind of clothing, or wanted a quart of Jack Daniels, or wanted a subscription to Playboy. And, you know, I don't argue with all that. Well, if you don't, then don't give it. I want to give them a gift card to a family restaurant. They like Hooters. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. You say, but that's what they ask for. Yes, but that does not make their request right in the eyes of God. You say, they're not saved and they don't believe the way I believe. But you are to give right to keep you right with God. The lost or carnal people's desires should not determine how you spend the money God gave you. Don't break your convictions to give others gifts who have no convictions. Don't condone their sinful lifestyle in your giving. You know, there's always a way to give without hurting your testimony. You don't have to, and I wouldn't do this. You know, if Uncle Roy asked for that case of Budweiser, you don't have to give him the case of Budweiser, and you don't have to say, Uncle Roy, you're a drunken slob, and I'm not giving that to you. You don't have to say that. You just get Uncle Roy something else. That's all you have to do. Now, is it quiet in here? Have I touched on something? You all been buying Roy beer, haven't you? And everybody here has an Uncle Roy. I'm going to get nasty notes under my door, and Uncle Roy's going to flatten my tires this week. I just know it. My wife and I had to learn this. We through the years, we decided, you know something? We want our family to get saved. We want someday for them to live right. We better not be condoning in what we give them their sinful lifestyle. Now, stay with me, because there's something else I want to add to this in the next point. But just think through it. Would Jesus give that gift? And if you say he would not, you're supposed to be like Jesus. That's all it takes. Now, let me go on. Number six, I recommend that you not go overboard with Christian gifts to the lost. Look, if your aunt is a church hater, don't get her 5 sets of my sermon CDs for Christmas. Did you know there are neutral, nice gifts that can be given? They don't have to be hyper-spiritual, but they don't have to be sinful. I don't know of anybody that has a conviction against candy, except for Jenny Craig. She's miserable. You can get them towels and nice pictures and candles and cooking items and hunting equipment and knives. You can get them baseballs and basketballs and decor for the home. Hey, you don't get you to use some common sense. If somebody has no interest at all in the things of Christ, you might just be offensive by piling on a whole bunch of spiritual stuff that they don't want anyhow. Don't give them things like that to start a fight. Don't give them things like that to start a fuss. Use some good common sense. Listen, you say, well, I'm going to get them a Bible. I don't see any problem with that, but could I recommend if you're going to get them a Bible, maybe you ought to throw a bottle of perfume in with that thing or a little gift card to Cracker Barrel or something like that? Now, I'm not against you giving spiritual things, and don't you walk out of here saying I'm not. I'm just trying to get you to use a little common sense. If we want to win them over, we've got to get them saved before we're going to start feeding them those things that are going to help them grow spiritually. Don't give, you know, you say, my mother-in-law hates you, Brother Owens. Don't give her my Red Hot Sermons Volume Number 1 then as a Christmas gift. It's not going to go over very well. Now, next point. Always remember this. When you're out shopping, never buy fruitcake. You say, why? Fruitcake is of the devil. It's of the devil. I've already received, and every year you give me this fruitcake stuff. Just like I said earlier, don't give spiritual things to the lost. And tonight I want to tell you, don't give things of the devil to the saved. Brother English is my garbage disposal of fruitcake. He likes it. He's not here tonight. Brother Bush, Mrs. English is back there. Would you do this for me? Would you take that back to Mrs. English and you give that to her, and you can take that home to your husband? Oh, how many people like fruitcake? Gross. I found this. You'll like it. Uses for fruitcake. I have 10 uses for fruitcake. Number one, bury them in the backyard for future archaeologists to discover. Number two, give them to your son for a science project. Number three, hang on to it and find out if there is really more than one fruitcake that's making its rounds each year. Number four, use it to hold up a broken table leg or chair. Number five, mash them down and use them for mortar when building a log cabin. Number six, use it as a stepping block for step aerobics. Number seven, make a wonderful dessert for the Roadkill Cafe. Number eight, use them to pave the freeways with. Just place them on the road and run a steamroller over them if it will make it. Number nine, use them as filler to repair the river levees with. They last indefinitely and are so dense water can never penetrate them. And number 10, last but probably not least, let your mother-in-law eat it. Hey, it's one way to get rid of the fruitcake and maybe she'll die too. When you're out there shopping, if you know somebody that likes fruitcake, you give it to them, but don't give it to me. Let me go on. Number eight, make Christmas shopping a good family time, or I think a dating time. Men, we don't really like shopping a lot, but men, be careful. Just don't make everybody miserable about it. It's a time when you shop. It can be a time when you can spend some time with the family and spend time with the kids. Teach the kids how to shop. Teach them how to be fair. Teach them to shop with conviction. And let me stop and say this. At least for Mrs. Owen and I, Christmas is a bit of a romantic part of the year. We enjoy this part of the year. We'll always, around Christmas time, go on a little romantic type of a date and have some hot chocolate and hold hands and do other things. It's really none of your business. But it is a romantic part of the year. And listen, as Christians, especially the married people in here, we need anything and everything that keeps us close to our mates and close to our partners. And so just make it a good time of the year. You know, I know there are times when I've gone out shopping with Mrs. Owens and I just made her miserable because I didn't want to spend money and she did, and I just ruined the Christmas spirit. Be careful not to be like that. We've all got to work together on the thing, but make it good. This is a time for Christ. It's a time for giving. Try to make it good. Number nine, I want to recommend to you that you shop wisely. Shop wisely. Don't overspend. Don't abuse your credit card. Listen, some of you're making less money this year than you've ever made before. You do not have a lot of money. You need to face it. You need to face it. I cannot tell you how much financial counseling I do in January and February. I've been doing this for a long time. I know the trends. Your November and your December, you spend money like it's going out of style. In January and February, you're weeping because you can't make your mortgage payment, you can't make your school payment. Please just be realistic. Be honest with yourself. And don't spend more than you can. And a bunch of you're just going to have to face it. You will have to cut back this year. You're just going to have to cut back. But do it. Do it with dignity. And if you've got to make some gifts, you make those gifts. And you do it inexpensively. And you can still be good to people. But be careful not to overspend. I recommend that you use a budget. You know, the Bible is very, very clear about us watching how we spend and what we do. We ought to do it in an organized fashion. I think Mrs. Owens and I, this is how we do it. I've already told you, we spend a certain amount on every one of our children. We set that amount and we don't go over it. We do the same thing with our parents and we don't go over it. We set a budget. We decide how much money we can spend. We figure out how many people we're purchasing for. We divide it into the different categories of how much we can spend on each person, and then we draw the line there. And some of you, if you just spend by budget, if you'd be careful, you'll not have a mess in January or February trying to figure out how to pay off all the money you spend in December. Learn to use coupons. Look for the sales. Oh, my goodness. I tried to go out with my wife on, what's that thing called? Yeah, Black Friday. Brother. Now, Mrs. Lori Brown told me, she said, me and Savannah go out because we just like looking at the weird people at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what? She is right. People in pajamas, people, I mean, out there crazy. But if they were out there trying to save a few bucks, okay, so be it. But I'll tell you this, you need to watch for those sales. Mrs. Owens and I have really caught on to that you would not believe how good the sales are after Christmas. If you could do some of next year's Christmas shopping right after Christmas this year, you could save a lot of money. Each year, Mrs. Owens gives a little gift to the our assistant pastor's wives, both at Christmas and at Valentine's. She always does a little something for them. She always wants to spend more money than what I want her to spend, but she figured it out. If she'll buy it a year prior, she can get them something very nice, but it doesn't cost a lot of money. Now, she doesn't buy the candy that way, so you know. But we give them a loaf of bread every year. It's got to stale by the time we get to it. But we've learned that you can buy right after Christmas for the following year, and you can save a lot of money. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to spend your money, you remember this. Every penny that you have was given to you by Jesus Christ. All that we have was given to us. We need to be careful that we use it right. Stay with me now. Let me say number 10. Don't forget about Jesus. We're going to take a little what we'll call a Christmas offering that'll go along with our new missions ministry I've been telling you about, the Hearts for Missions. We've got the Christmas trees out here where you can take an ornament and go pick something up. Listen, somebody in here, you could promise Jesus you're going to win some people to Christ as a Christmas gift to him. And don't steal his tithe to go buy Christmas gifts for everybody else. You give as you're supposed to give. I'm so proud. I'll have a half a dozen families in our church that will come see me every year and say, "Preacher, is there somebody in our church that needs a little help for Christmas? I'd like to maybe help get them a ham or a turkey, or maybe I could buy a gift for one of their children." And boy, those sort of things are big. And that's right. Just don't forget about Jesus at Christmas time. Number 11. And I'm going to say this because I really think the American culture needs to hear it. You need to learn to be satisfied with what you receive as a gift. 1 Timothy 4:4 tells us that what we receive, we ought to receive with thanksgiving. Can I teach you something? If you want nothing, anything you get will be a blessing. If you want nothing, anything you get will be a blessing. Everyone here, don't show disappointment in what somebody gives you. You didn't earn the gift, so you don't really have any right to complain about it. Be satisfied with what you get. Now, learn to say thank you and be appreciative. You say, "Well, I wonder if they give me something that's sinful." Don't start a war over it. Just take care of it later. You don't have to be offensive. You know, there are some people that will give you something that you don't want. It's against your convictions, but they didn't do it on purpose. And if that happens, you be kind, you be gracious, and then give it to me. No. But you don't have to start a war. Listen, I'm an old-fashioned fundamentalist, and you know that. I have standards, and I have convictions, and there are things that I preach hard, I preach straight. But I don't go around in my personal life and with my family and with all the people I love trying to start wars all the time. I'm cautious. I'm careful. I try to think through things. So be satisfied. When you receive a gift, if you don't like it, why don't you just stop for a second and say, "Well, thank God I'm not in hell." You have received the greatest gift you'll ever need, and that is salvation. Everything else are just little things along the way. We have heaven as our future, so if you didn't get something you wanted for your birthday or Christmas, don't whine about it. You've got everything else you'll ever need. We're going to heaven to live all eternity. There'll be no death there or pain there. We'll walk on streets of gold. What are you griping about? Let me go on. Number 12. When your money is low, shop practically. Be very practical. Let me tell you what I mean. And some of you children, teenagers, you might not like this, but moms and dads, I think sometimes we just have to do what is best. I can remember many times when Mrs. Owens, we've been in the ministry virtually all of our married life, and there's just not been a lot of money to throw around. And so we've always had to be very practical and careful about what we do. Many times our children received new socks for Christmas and shoes. And we bought them things that they were going to need anyway. And they got some gifts, but we had to kill two birds with one stone. You say, "Well, I don't want socks." Well, okay, then maybe you can do without. But it gets awful cold without socks on. Even when our new grandson, Caleb, we this year, don't tell him, Josh and Corey, but we bought him some baby food and formula and those sort of things that would help mom and dad out financially because it's practical. But it's what we could afford, and we saved mom and dad some money, and we're not ashamed of that. We're going to give. We want to be practical. Giving food can be a very practical gift. I had somebody recently come and say, "Preacher, I want to do something for one of my kids. I think we're going to help them with their Christian school bill." I said, "That is a very practical gift. That's a very nice thing to do, someone that was struggling. But listen, when money's low, be practical. Probably ought to be practical whether money's low or not. Let me go on. Number 13, and again, something I just feel like in all our culture, somebody needs to say, I've never been one that goes around asking for things. You may do it the way you want, but let me say to every single person here that ever gets married, every single person here that has a birthday, every single person that participates in Christmas, you have no right to expect anything from anybody. It's almost to the point where we almost demand, I want this for my wedding, and I want this for my birthday, and I want this for Christmas. Where in the world did we come up with that attitude? If you get anything, it's a blessing. If somebody gives you a gift, shut up and enjoy it. Be glad they chose to give you anything. We don't owe you anything because you got married. We don't owe you anything because it's your birthday. We don't owe you anything because it's Christmas, because it ain't your birthday. It's the birthday of Christ. If you didn't get what you want, what makes you think that this party's for you anyway, babe? Listen, if somebody says to you, they insist that you tell them what you want, suggest something very inexpensive. That's called a humble request. I just don't think we ought to be out to take advantage of people. So if somebody says, I insist you tell me what you want, then make it very humble and simple and say, anything you give me will be fine. And mean it in your heart. Mean it in your heart. And could I suggest this? Be careful asking your lost family members to get you spiritual things. They may not understand it. When you say to them, I want a Bible, you're going to end up with an NIV. You say, get me some good music, you're going to end up with Christian rock. Give me a new dress, you're going to end up with a mini skirt. So you've got to be careful requesting things of them that they have no concept what you're talking about. And then you're going to have offense when they don't see you wearing a miniskirt Easter morning. Where did that skirt I gave you? Skirt. That was a portion of a piece of material. That was elastic. So be careful asking people to give things to you that they do not understand. But I would say in a big way, don't ask. Just don't ask. You say, well, they'll struggle in giving me something. Well, if they insist, then make it simple, make it inexpensive, and then be very satisfied if that's what they give you. Because Christmas is not all about you getting. That is not what Christmas is. Christmas is giving, not getting. And if you get, thank God for it. The whole concept of giving in Christmas, it all starts back here with these wise men who come and do something nice for the Christ child, I believe for Mary and for Joseph. And then the gift that was given to you and I by God in sending his son to be the Savior. I think we ought to follow the trends, the teachings, and the principles of the Bible, even when we do our Christmas shopping. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, we want to welcome you to the Savior. You come during the altar call, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're saved and you've never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. Maybe, I should have said tonight, maybe you ought to pray about what you give someone for Christmas. The Bible says pray about everything. That doesn't hurt. But maybe somebody here tonight needs to adjust your thinking a little. Some of you that are a little newer Christians, I've said some things that it'll seem odd to you, but trust me, I'm not trying to hurt you. I want you to have a good, solid Christian testimony. I want you to give. When I say don't give the wrong kinds of things, look, you can find an alternative that would not be offensive to your testimony or to Christ. You can find an alternative to the request of a lost person of something bad. You can figure that out. But I believe God spoke into hearts tonight. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The choir sing a song for you. Worship you, Bill. It's a process of the right way.
lot of bad money. A little money to spend on other movies. Christmas morning, nobody showed disappointment. Thank you.